Please take your Bibles with me as we prepare to go to the table. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Striking passage with striking figures. Verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 32. Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes will rule justly, and each will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Let's pray together. Our Father, we would say like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servants listen." And then help me to be like a Samuel, to tell things and hide nothing, even if it would be something that would make ears tingle. So may we enjoy the voice of God through your word among us tonight. And lead us to the table, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This winter's mild weather still can't erase the memory of last winter's fierceness. Remember what it was like? The thermometer reading sub-zero and blinding snow blowing horizontally, and the wind chill registering at times near 40 below. We got a scary taste of that a few weeks ago in November of all times, with the frigid horizontal flying of fine sub-zero ice pellets. I remember it on my driveway, and I thought, what will this winter bring now? Well, such experiences provoke us to meditate on the early West Michigan settlers, maybe, who were forced to confront the violent lake effect barefaced. You think of how maybe some traveler back in the days before any settlement was built up, and how they'd be out at night facing a fierce blizzard, trudging through hip-deep snow by themselves and fearing that they would perish, but maybe then off at a distance seeing a homestead, and they're seeing in the window a light, and then trudging step by step, finally to that light, knocking on the door, gaining access, falling in, sitting before a warm and cozy fire. Ah! A shelter in a time of storm. Well, these kinds of meditations give us a good flavor and texture of the text that's in front of us here. Isaiah 32, 1 and 2, and we hope these verses will lead us to the table. I read this passage, these two verses. It speaks of a righteous king who will arise. It speaks of each, but really it says there, like the King James interprets it as a man, or the man will be like a shelter from a storm, like a refuge from a wind. There is the man that's being referred to here. The context of Isaiah 32 is the Assyrian invasion described in 31:8, we see there. And then in Isaiah 36, it speaks of that story about this Assyrian field marshal named Rabshakeh, who comes to the walls of Jerusalem, and he taunts the Judahites who are up on the wall, hiding in the city. He says, "We Assyrians, we've invaded all the other lands. We've torched people's homes. We've massacred multitudes. We have come like a furious providential blizzard." And so now the people of Jerusalem have fled, all of Judah, have fled to Jerusalem as a shelter in a time of storm there. And there they are, finding the walls to be a degree of shelter, but it's going to be of no avail when you've got the field marshal Rabshakeh of the Syrians on the outside. But there is on the inside someone who can help them, and his name is King Hezekiah, who is king of Judah at this time. And we see he's a man of faith and prayer. And Hezekiah the king in Jerusalem consults with Isaiah, and they take the taunting letter that Rabshakeh read out in front of the walls, And they took it into the temple and they laid it before the Lord. And it's described for us there in 37:36 how they, Isaiah and Hezekiah, said, "Lord, look at this taunt. Rabshakeh has said that you, the God of Israel, is no more than the gods of Hamath or the gods of Arpad. He thinks you're a false deity. Lord, see. Lord, listen. Lord, come and act." And we're told then in 37:36 that the Lord answers by bringing destroying angel, and 185,000 Assyrians outside the city are destroyed. And the danger passes. And we see then that, in essence, Hezekiah, the king, has been for the people a shelter in a time of storm. He is God's man who is the provision of safety. And so, the man who is the shelter in a time of storm, Hezekiah, is really a type, a shadow, a prefigurement of a greater king in Jerusalem who would come. In fact, notice how, look at the very next verse, 32:3, it's the symbol of the signs of the messianic age, where it says there, "The eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will listen." Christ came and He opened the eyes of the blind and He opened the ears of the deaf. See, this is a messianic prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:5, "The blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear." That's what Jesus did. So Hezekiah is a picture of Jesus, who is the ultimate shelter in a time of storm. Barnes says, "A greater than Hezekiah is now here. The things predicted here are the righteous administration under the messianic prince. Protection and refreshment for his subjects. Protection from the wrath of God and the temptations of Satan and the rage of the world." You see, Jesus of Nazareth came and He is the ultimate refuge from the wind. He is the ultimate shelter in the time of storm. That's what we want to meditate on as we come to the table. Look at the three lines I have in your notes there. We'll consider how our lives are full of many storms. Secondly, Christ is a shelter in all storms. And then thirdly, make Him the shelter for your storms. So first, our lives are full of many storms. See, the providence of God permits no man a clear sky pilgrimage through the land of the living. Everybody is going to encounter storms. Just think with me of three kinds of storms. First, hard providences. Hard providence, Job 5:7. "Man is born for trouble as sparks fly upwards." It's an exceptionless law. Every man suffers sorrows. You got a guy like Bill Gates, prosperity, Microsoft. Even Gates gets hammered with the storm of irksome calamity of a government lawsuit against him, and he's brought to his wit's end. Even a guy like Superman, those of you who are older, Superman, Christopher Reeves was Superman, right? But he's struck with a back injury. He's paralyzed in a wheelchair. Hard providences come even to the strongest among us. I remember years ago there was a father who watched his 17-year-old son play soccer in West Michigan. But then the son had a broken bone, and somehow between the field and the hospital, a bone fragment hit his blood and it went to his heart. He died of a broken bone. On a soccer field, a storm strikes. There was a South African pastor a few years ago who kissed his wife farewell. And she went and drove just a couple of blocks away. And there was an accident. And he heard about it and he ran to her. And she died right in his arms. Spurgeon says, "God will send rough wind through the forest, which will make the limb on which we try to build our nest rock to and fro in the storm, till we are obliged to take to our wings again, for there is no resting place for any of us in the trees of the forest of this world. Is that true? The truth is that there are stormy blasts in men's lives that are designed to bring us to the realization, I need a refuge from the wind. I need a shelter in the time of storm. We're looking at hard storms in life. Hard providences first we saw. Secondly, how about devilish temptation? There's another kind of a storm. Luke 22 speaks of Peter, the night in which Jesus was betrayed and Satan asked to sift Peter as wheat. Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. And we see that pride lured Peter into a triple denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, has the ability to pack such a wind that he can smite the four corners of our house and all of the house of our prosperity and can collapse in one day. Remember what happened to Job? Job was the greatest man in all of the East, the wealthiest. Everything was going his way, but then Satan wandered before the throne, and it was much of Satan's doing that a wind came and struck his house down, and all of his children are dead, all of his flocks are lost, and he's tempted to curse God to his face. Think of David. David himself, there's this perfect storm with the Bathsheba adultery and the Uriah refusal to go home to be with his wife, so that David is tempted and seduced and sucked into not only adultery, but also into murder as the hand of the devil, the prince of darkness, is present. Storm in the life. I know of a pastor who, years ago, he would stand in the pulpit just like this. And he was a very good preacher, capable one, beautiful wife, 8 children, thriving church. But he himself began to kind of walk around on the wall like David did and look. And he got involved with a woman. And he would go out at night and he would wear scents and aromas that he didn't used to wear, and he ended up trapped in this Jezebel's lap. And by the time he came to his senses, he was off in the West Coast. He'd left his church, his wife, his 8 children sitting at the dining room table, and but by the grace of God, he would never again been seen on the King's Highway, because a storm hit him and blew him way off course, almost to the shipwrecking of his eternal soul. See, there are storms, hard providences, storms, devilish temptations. How about storms? The final judgment. That's the greatest storm of all. The Genesis flood, that was a storm that was a prelude to history's climactic flood, which is a flood of fire described in 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, all of this world will be burned up in intense heat. It's the final flood of fire, the judgment to come. Remember how Samuel was said, don't hide anything. Don't want to hide anything from you. There is something terrible coming that will make everybody's ears tingle. George Whitefield used to preach about it. He would say, oh, the wrath of God to come. Oh, the wrath of God to come. And there was something about the way Whitefield would say it, with such passion. He would describe the wrath of God to come almost beyond human language. It's terrible, everyone. It's dreadful. It's horrible what is coming. You know, you read of the flood back in the beginning and how they couldn't get into the ark. So it speaks of the waters coming up beyond the nostrils of every living creature. Can you see them running to the highest ground, pushing one another down to climb up to the highest tree? Then people screaming, young, old, middle age, and finally snuffed out. Can't breathe anymore. It's terrible. But this will be a flood of fire that is to come. We read about in Revelation chapter 6, the sky rolling back like a scroll, the Lamb appearing, and people realizing that the wrath of God is going to drown them in the lake of fire, and they cry out to the rocks and to the mountains, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." What a horror. We'd even change the imagery of outer darkness. A blizzard is coming. It'll be so dark. It'll be so frigid, cold, arctic cold, away from the love of God. We will be numb with a sense of our own loneliness, abandoned by God. And I'll tell you, more than once, I've been to deathbeds. I've been to hospitals. I remember one man in particular, hospital in Grand Rapids. The family asked me to come. He was a lost man. He'd been a drunken man and he never embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked me to come at the end to speak to him about the Lord Jesus. But he was thrashing back and forth in the agonies of death, and it was more than the physical. It was obvious. You wonder about a little foretaste that people get while still in the land of the living. Regarding the horrible wrath of God to come, it says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this man was, in a way, gnashing his teeth, anticipating an unbearably long night of an eternal winter that he was headed for. A blizzard is coming. A fire flood is coming. You see, our lives are full of many storms. But now, having seen that, consider with me, secondly, Christ is a shelter in all storms. That's the glorious thing. There's a place for us to hide. Christ is a shelter in all storms. Christ is a better than Hezekiah. All the people from Judah, they fled to Jerusalem where the king Hezekiah was. But we can flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate shelter. With sincere repentance and faith, we can be made safe. So just consider with me, Christ, a shelter in all storms. First, in those hard providences, Christ is a shelter. Interview Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of Daniel chapter 3. Those guys were thrown into a firestorm in Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. But when they were there, were they alone, left to themselves? No. Nebuchadnezzar looked in and says, there's a fourth man in there. He was a shelter to them. He was a force shield to them. He was an asbestos suit to them. Or you think of how we find Job, when he went through his providential storm, lost his wife, lost his children, lost his flocks, his wealth, his health. But even Job wasn't left alone, because he says in 19:25, "I know. I go to the left, I can't find them, to the right, before and behind, I don't know." But he says, "But I know my Redeemer lives. And when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold." Are you in a storm right now of providential difficulty, Job-like? You're not alone there. He's with you. He's a shelter. We sing that hymn, "Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul." Some of us can sing that when we're brought to tears because He's been there in the furnace for us time and time again. Old Thomas Watson says, "Even afflictions work for our good, because there, in afflictions, Christ is most sweetly displaying Himself to us. The child who is sick and bruised is most looked after in the household." And you've been there, and you had a fever, and your mom doted over you. And even your dad sometimes came and put his head on your hand on your forehead, and he patted you, and he told you he loved you when you were sick. That's what the Lord Jesus has done for many of us. We can stand up and say, "Amen! It is true! Jesus peculiarly draws near with a felt sense of His help." When we're in afflictions, we experience Him in a tender way like we've never before experienced Him. This account of an old missionary, Alan Gardner. He went to a South American island, and there he died of starvation because they forgot to put the meat and the gunpowder when they dropped him off there with his other two men. He died of starvation. He wrote in a diary as he was becoming skeletal. He says in the diary, "Jesus has been a sweet presence to me. Jesus has been a shelter for my soul." So he's a shelter in the storm of providential difficulties. Or how about in those devilish temptations? Satan asked to sift Peter. You know, Satan asked to sift Joe and Mark and Anna and Dan in the same way. But blessed be God that the Lord Jesus doesn't close his ears or his eyes to us. Jesus says of Peter, "But I've prayed for you so that your faith won't fail." And Jesus is at the right of the majesty. And he's a shelter to us. He prays for Mark and Joe and Dan and Anna by name. He never abandons us. Jesus says to Simon, "I've prayed for you." That canopy of protection, that shelter that Jesus gives to all of us. Hey, there's a particular woman. In fact, Bob already mentioned this dear woman who is now applying to be a member again in our church. And this precious woman, she's been away in a monsoon season, multiple years of storm in her life. And Kevin and I just had an interview with her on Wednesday, and just seeing her, she'd been out, away from God's people, out in a storm, and just to see her again, just made my heart sing. It just brought tears to my eyes. Said, "Jesus took care of you. The Lord Jesus brought you back in that storm. You didn't die out there." It's not because of her resilience or something insightful about her spiritually. No, it's all. She's a trophy of the Lord Jesus Christ keeping her, bringing her back into our arms, or at least to the elbow of our piano. Jesus has been to her a shelter in a time of storm. We feared that we had seen the last of her. There's an account told of people who were hiking in Colorado 3 or 4 years ago, and it was this terrible downpour. And the hiking group, when there's a downpour in those regions, the water can sweep someone away. And one of their group was swept away. You know what? They were never found again by the flash flood water which swept the person away. Never found. We thought that was with her. We'd never see her again. But the Lord Jesus, her lifeguard, brought her back to a place of safety. Jesus has said, "Of those the Father has given to me, I shall lose none." She among us is a trophy of God's grace. Jesus spied her from the throne, spoke her name into the ears of the Father, and brought her back. He's been to her a shelter in storms. And then you think of all storms, I say, he's a shelter in that final judgment storm. That's the worst of all of them. That fiercest blizzard storm of all time. It's forecasted. It's on the weather map. It's forecasted for what day? The last day. Proverbs 1:27 speaks of when your dread will come like a storm. Look at me, everyone. The last day will bring dread like a storm. Revelation 6 speaks of how terrifying it is. The sky rolls back. Stars fall. The sun becomes blood red. Fall on us. People will be terrified in horror. And how doomed it will be for the wilderness traveler who's caught out in that open field of that last day without a shelter in that time of storm. But how safe and how snug and how secure will be the hell-deserving sinner who in the days of this life fled to Jesus in the cleft of the rock and found a shelter in the time of storm. And then, in the killing sleet hail, in God's wrath beating upon that rock, if you've found refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, There, Christ is a rock of shelter for us. Think of how someone's hiding in a cave and there's pounding and driving rain, safe and secure. Think of how in a battle, when the sky is raining arrows and raining javelins, how in a profound sense, Jesus there on Golgotha, for all those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the arrows of God's wrath, all of the javelins of God's justice turned away from the believers and were thrust into the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What is he encountering? Outer darkness, Arctic blizzard, alienation from his Father, the fires of God's justice, he's taking all of those arrows, all of those javelins, so that on the day of storm, there's nothing left to strike you, and you'll be kept safe. And you'll be cozy there in the shelter in the time of storm, safe and snug and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah 53, and this is what we're talking about at the table, blood, broken body. Isaiah 53, smitten of God is Jesus and afflicted, pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastenings for our well-being fell upon him. The Lord was pleased to crush him. And so it's we're the children of God. And think of the ark. Remember the ark and the storm came and the rain began to drive down. Only one place of safety, right? It's in the ark, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark. So that when the storm of God's wrath, that last judgment, fire, storm is over, you know what? Just like when they hit Ararat and the gangplank went down and they came out and the sun was shining in a new world. That's going to be us. Because Jesus, forever and forever, when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun, no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Because Jesus is our ark, our shelter in the time of storm. So here we're saying, full atonement! Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior in the Lord Jesus. So just lastly, make Him the shelter for your storms. See, I'd be foolish to assume that everybody in here has taken Jesus as their shelter in a time of storm. Everybody sees Jesus as their better than Hezekiah. But the text says Jesus is a refuge from the wind and a shelter in the storm. And so some are sitting here. You may be young, maybe old. Maybe you're young. A young person recently said to me, I think I suffer from the apathy of youth. And the idea of, you know what, I got plenty of time left, right? You think you've got plenty of time left, do you? It's just like those people outside the ark when Noah was building and the rain wasn't pouring yet and nothing was really urgent, but then the rain began to fall. Right now, the rain isn't falling yet, but the rain's coming! You need to think very seriously. You must take Jesus as your shelter in a time of storm. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me now, even tonight. Come on. Come on, he's saying to you. Come on now, tonight. Come on in the shelter. It's come on in the ark. It's not raining yet, I know. But you never know. The weather can change. There's a story Spurgeon tells about this boat off the coast in England. And the way that the boat was a heavy laden boat, meaning it went deep because it was heavy because of all the cargo. And a squall line was coming from the west and they needed to get in the harbor. But the captain couldn't get in the harbor because it was low tide and their hull would scrape the bottom. They had to wait for high tide. It was an inopportune time to come in. But Spurgeon says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon says here, my Lord's love is never at low tide. My Lord's love is always at high tide. And so he says, it's always at 1,000 fathoms. Jesus always says, come to me. There's deep access right now. Come to Jesus right now. Right between the two red lights of believe and repent. Come on. Believe and repent. Come tonight. What? The 8th of February, 2015. Come on, tonight. A shelter in a time of storm. John 6, Jesus says, all the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. Come on, today! Today! If it's your first time coming, come today! If it's your 10,000th the first time, come on again! I'm coming again! So the table's for me every time. I'm coming again to Jesus. I have no other refuge in the storm but the Lord Jesus Christ. But you may sit there in the burgundy chair and say, but you don't know how big a sinner I am. I might look squeak clean on the outside, but I am a Goliath sinner. Is there room for me in there in that cleft of the rock? Oh, there's plenty of room for big, giant sinners. You think of Manasseh, who bloodied the streets of Jerusalem with the saints. Manasseh repented, and there was room for him in the shelter. Or in Mary Magdalene, in whom there were 7 demons. Or that woman who was a prostitute, who washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She got in with a thief on the cross. Or how about this Saul of Tarsus, who had persecuted the saints? There was room in the shelter for him. Or that slave, boatman, John Newton, that foul-mouthed, wicked, sexually immoral sinner. Newton is the one who penned the hymn where he says, nothing in my hands I bring. Only to thy cross I cling. There's enough room for homosexual abortionist doctors who abort infants in the womb. Hundreds of them. Thousands of them. I've heard of one of them who repented and gained access in. Oh, the access to Jesus and the canal in which you can come in is deep and wide. Come on in. Repentance and belief. But you might be here. Where? A young child here. You're young. You may say, yeah, Pastor Chansky's speaking to the older guys, like 1678. No, I'm speaking to you. Because Jesus said about little children in Luke 18, permit the children to come to me. Don't hinder them. There's a place for you too. No, you don't have to wait to get to be as old as your dad. The whiskers, you've got to have whiskers. You can come now to the Lord Jesus Christ and have shelter. You may say, but I want to wait till I feel more deeply my sin. Ah, the hymn writer says, if you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Not the righteous. Sinners. Jesus came to call. So, I'm just saying, you know, this is the lake shore. And it's cold in this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been giving you a light from the homestead of the home of the Lord Jesus. You see the light I'm giving? Run to it. Bang on the door. Jesus will open wide. You come in before the cozy fire of His love and then eat and drink from His table here tonight. He's a shelter in a time of storm. Let's go to the table with these things in mind.